Hare Krishna. Reading from Surrenderunto Me. This is Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. And we're continuing reading from the comment on verse 15. Verse 15 is, nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Continuing reading the comment. How the living entity in the tight grip of material nature is the doer can be compared to the attempt of a small boy to lift a weight he has just seen his father lift. The boy first desires to lift the weight and then tries. He cannot possibly succeed. But his father, seeing his small son's desire, stands above him and out of affection does the actual lifting. Thus the father has actually lifted the weight, but he cannot be considered the only lifter. Unless the desire had been expressed and the attempt made by the child, the father never would have helped and the weight would not have been lifted. The living entity should not, like the child, become bewildered by false ego and pride and consider himself the doer of activities, because in all cases, he actually has no independent ability to act. That does not mean, however, that the living entity can avoid the responsibility of having performed the activity, because it was he who expressed the desire, he who made the attempt, and he who then tries to enjoy the fruit. When the living entity is ignorant of his eternal relationship with Krishna, he chooses his position as independent enjoyer, which in turn welds him to material nature and places him under its control. Thus, he is responsible for his own reactions. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, quote, the Lord is Vibhu, or omniscient, but the living entity is Anu, or atomic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by the omnipotent Lord. And so, when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires. But the Lord is never responsible for the actions and reactions of the particular situation which may be desired. Being in a bewildered condition, therefore, the embodied soul identifies himself with the circumstantial material body and becomes subjected to the temporary misery and happiness of life. The Lord is the constant companion of the living entity, its Paramatma, or the Supersoul, and therefore he can understand the desires of the individual soul, as one could smell the flavor of a flower by being near it. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. The Lord fulfills his desires as he deserves, man proposes, and God disposes. When we say the Lord fulfills his desires as he deserves, both the his and he are not in capital. This is my little comment here. It's referring to the living entity, not the Lord. The Lord fulfills his desires, the living entity's desires, as he, the living entity, deserves. Man proposes and God disposes. The individual is not, therefore, omnipotent in fulfilling his desires. The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires, and the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute, independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain to him and be eternally happy. That's the end of the quotation, and the comment continues. Although the living entity is not the ultimate doer, he still remains responsible for his actions and their results as long as his actions spring from his desire to turn away from Krishna. The Supersoul acts as the living entity's best friend and fulfills his desires. Even though he is the supreme controller, he cannot be held accountable for the living entity's choices, for he, the Supreme Lord, acts only as sanctioner. The Supersoul, being neutral, is neither responsible for anyone's actions, nor is he liable to accept the living entity's good and bad reactions. This is knowledge. Knowing this is knowledge. Krishna describes the result of understanding this in the next verse. And the next verse is text 16. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which an essence is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Comment. Another way to analyze how knowledge leads to liberation is as follows. There are three doers. The living entity is doer number one. If he has knowledge, he realizes that all bodily activities are automatically carried out by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, the modes are doer number two. The modes consist of inert matter, however. Thus, they simply carry out activities which are desired by the living entity and sanctioned by the Supersoul. Therefore, the Supersoul, who only sanctions, can be called doer number three. We become enlightened by accurately understanding the interrelations between the living entity, the three modes of nature, and the Supersoul. This knowledge removes ignorance. When ignorance is removed, the living entity takes shelter of the Supersoul and attains liberation. Text 17. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Here is the comment. As described in this verse, after one achieves knowledge that he is different from his body, knowledge which is born of the mode of goodness, Sattvam Sanjayate Jnanam, to achieve liberation, he must become, quote, fixed in the Supreme. When we learn that the Lord is impartial and we fix our intelligence on that quality of the Supersoul, then our sins are destroyed, we become purified, and ultimately we transcend the material world. And what is the impartiality of those who transcend the material world in this way? That we shall hear next, soon, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.